North Dakota Governor Kelly Armstrong is getting ready to address North Dakota and the world with his annual State of the State address. Vice President J.D. Vance is getting ready to head to Minneapolis to see what in the world is going on here in Minnesota's biggest city. And Donald Trump is getting ready for a fight on Greenland, but he says today that that will not mean taking it over by force. Good morning, my friend. Great to be with you here on the Steve Holcomb Show on this Wednesday morning, January 21st, 2026. The afternoon to morning transition seems a little easier every day, but every once in a while we let one slip. But we're one for one this morning. Good morning to you. A lot to talk about today. Wow, has it been a newsy last 24 hours or whatever, 22 hours since I left you last. I gave you a couple of the big boys right off the top of the show today. Yeah, a lot of other interesting stuff to tell you about, too. Kristi Noem is talking tough. Let's hope she backs it up on this church that was invaded on Sunday by the idiots who decided that they were just going to march in the middle of a church service. I wonder if they just brought lightning rods with them, Addison, and just held them in their hands as they walked into the church service screaming and shouting and frightening the children.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they did at this point.
Well, it would save God an extra step, I think, because I don't know. You don't have to believe in God the way maybe some of us do, but if there is a God out there and you walk into a church service and harass and intimidate and just stir up trouble, my guess is your name's going on a list somewhere, but maybe that's just me. It is January 21st, 2026, and the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy, and we are here each morning to remind you of that from the Drive with Vision studio. DriveWithVision.com, Vision Ford, Lincoln, and Wahpeton, 15 minutes or less to buy a new car, truck, or SUV, or a very nice pre-owned one as well. Check them out, DriveWithVision.com. Call me today at 701-271-1100. And that is the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They can get you in quickly because they've recently expanded. They have occupational therapy, a nurse practitioner, physical therapy. They can do it all. Mental health, physical health, they are there to help you with all of it. And you go to valleychristian.co to get involved there. Still time this week to get in and see them. That's the great thing about them is you don't have to wait 3 weeks. Remember like a couple, 3 years ago, it was like, I can't get in to see somebody to kind of just talk out my stuff for like 3 months. Well, that is no longer the case. Or if you need medical help right away, consultation, they can do that right away for you as well. You can email me today, studio@flagfamily.com. You can text me at 701-237-1590. There will be lots of chances for you to weigh in today on the program. But I do want to let you know we're going to try to take Kelly Armstrong's State of the State address at 10 a.m. today, as much of it as we can. We've got some breaks we need to take. We'll do what we can to try to bring you as much of that as possible here today. I want to also say thank you to those of you who contacted me after the show, either on the phone line or, excuse me, the email box or to my personal email and said you really appreciated the interview we had with Michael Letts yesterday on Greenland. And wasn't that guy great? Boiled it down, gave us a fantastic history lesson. In fact, Jay Thomas was listening and said, hey, I got to get that interview. So I think they're going to play that on Jay's show later today. It was just such a good digest on Greenland. But he also, I mean, you can tell he's a faith, family, freedom guy. And he's like, we got a problem here and we got to fix it. And we got to do what we got to do. And I love that perspective. I had just a slight difference of opinion on one thing with him on the military piece of it. But it looks like the president today now says, yeah, we're not going to do that. So I guess that sort of all has blown over. But boy, did I love that interview. And we're going to have him on again because that's a guy that can talk about a lot of different stuff. And man, is there a lot of different stuff to talk about. All right, let's get to it with the Morning Wire here on the Steve Holcomb Show. Weather Almanac, opening markets, some top stories of the day as well. So let's rock and roll here, starting with our weather detail for today. January 21st, average high is 18, average low is minus 1, record high 52 degrees back in 1900, and 41 below on this day in 1888. I wonder when it was 52 degrees on January 21st, 1900, if they were worried about the global boiling, if we were all going to die because the weather was getting too hot too fast. My guess is they had a little more common sense back then, but maybe that's just me. Sunrise this morning was at 8:03, and the sun will set at 5:43. 14. We will gain 2 minutes and 17 seconds of beautiful daylight. And I love it, right? Not that the weather right now is horrible, but when the weather starts getting nicer in a little bit and it starts staying later, lighter out a little later, oh, that's so great. In the spring, you get into late February, early March, and you just feel like spring is coming. Don't know that we're there quite yet, but here, at least where I'm sitting at, it's a beautiful, light, fluffy snow out there falling straight down. There's not much wind this morning. And sometimes you need a little coat of the white stuff to freshen things up. In the markets today, the stocks are rebounding from the big sell-off yesterday. And I think what I'm seeing in some early trading notes here off Wall Street is that when Trump ruled out military action on Greenland this morning, the markets bounced right then and there. Dow today, right now up $339. We've only been open for about 45 minutes. S&P 500 up 49, NASDAQ up 154. Not erasing yesterday's losses, but we're about maybe 40% of the way there, maybe almost half. So bouncing back in the right direction. So we'll see what happens the rest of the day. WTI crude oil today, right about $60 a barrel where it was yesterday. Gold today up $96 an ounce, $4,862 an ounce. Silver is actually off about 1% today at 93.27. Bitcoin, about where it was yesterday, $90,200. AAA says average fuel price, regular unleaded across the country, $2.83. North Dakota, $2.52. Minnesota, $2.61. South Dakota, $2.62. Diesel fuel today, up 1 cent at $3.53. All right. In the news today, Governor Kelly Armstrong will be giving the State of the State address today, 10 a.m., kicking off a special session of the legislature. And the address, he says he wants to make it the shortest one in history, which I believe would be anything less than 35 minutes. So we'll see what happens there. The special session is mostly about rural health funding. And some changes to the funding through One Big Beautiful Bill. So they got to get together. They've got to get together and figure all that out. And the governor does a State of the State address anyway. It will be interesting to hear him talk about revenues, especially out of the energy sector out in western North Dakota, because they're projecting some pretty big disparities between what they projected, what's actually going to come in. So going the downward direction there. Valley News Live reports that North Dakota's Legislative Management Committee has advanced a bill that would provide free breakfast and lunch to every student in the state. You probably remember that a group of North Dakotans says it is going to do this by petition to go to the people and put it on the ballot in November to have the state vote on it. Lawmakers say we can maybe do this a little bit better, a little bit different, so let us do it with legislation. So Mike Nathy, who is the state representative out of Bismarck, who is introducing legislation, says, look, this thing is going to go through whether we like it or not because the polling is overwhelmingly positive. And so we have to get this thing done, do it the right way, and it's probably best for us to do it. As you know, I don't like this idea. I just think there's far better ways to do it than have the poorest families in North Dakota pay for the richest families in North Dakota's free lunch and breakfast as well. Forum reports today that Fargo, the city of Fargo, has approved an interchange that will hit I-29 at 64th Avenue South. It's a $25 million project. It will begin in 2028, so it's not going to happen anytime soon. This has been somewhat controversial after some homeowners in the area said, we bought our property after being assured by the city that they weren't going to put an interchange there because they don't want the traffic, but this is going to now go through. Big news hit about supper time last night. I heard that Michelle Tafoya was indeed going to be launching a U.S. Senate campaign. We're going to talk about this in a little bit. This, in my mind, is the story of the day, and especially everything that's going on in Minnesota right now. So we're going to talk about Michelle, what she stands for, what she does not. And she announced, is going to announce today. Word got out last night. And I texted Michelle last night. I said, hey, I love it, and I'm glad. I'm hearing you have a campaign manager, so that's a pretty sure sign. But I said, you go, girl, and love it that she's getting involved. And she just sent back a heart on the text message. And finally, the president, President Trump in Davos today at the World Economic Forum, says, I am calling for immediate negotiations with Denmark to discuss the acquisition of Greenland by the United States. But he said specifically he would not use force. He said, quote, people thought I would use force. I don't have to use force. I don't want to use force. I won't use force. Thank you, Mr. President. When we come back on the Steve Alstrom Show, story of the day, she's going to do it. Michelle Tafoya is in next. Custom Truck and Auto Shine sponsors the Winter Road Reports here on the Steve Alstrom Show. Every time bad weather hits and the forecast requires extra care behind the wheel, think about Custom Truck and Auto Shine. When a collision is out of your control, their full-service body shop will get you back on the road in a jiffy. Visit CustomFargo.com. No big, like, official road reports today, but there is some snow out there, and it's that kind of light, fluffy stuff that makes it a little greasy. So take your time, especially over the bridges where you get a little bit more ice forming. Be a little careful out there. Might have to drive around in four-wheel a little bit more than normal. CustomFargo.com, CustomFargo.com. It's beautiful snow, I'm just telling you. You got to love this kind of a day if you live in our part of the world, right? It's not 50 below zero, and we got a beautiful, light, fluffy snow falling, brightening up everything. I don't mind it. I don't, even though I get a little crabby about the cold weather as I get older. Today, days like today, though, I will take it. All right, she's going to do it. After weeks of rumors, the news hit last night around supper time. Michelle Tafoya is running for U.S. Senate. She confirmed it to me without really confirming it last night, texted her and said, hey, I'm hearing this. And some news reports started circulating out of the Twin Cities last night. And they were all citing that they were citing a website from the Federal Election Commission where apparently she filed her paperwork to run yesterday. And that triggered some people in the Twin Cities and the newsrooms to say, hey, there's some news going on here. And when I heard from my colleague Chris Larson, who called me about this and let me know about it, texted Michelle right away and said, hey, I'm loving what I'm hearing. And if you have listened to my show in the afternoon, I've had Michelle on a number of times. And in the last probably month or so, she's declined to come on. So I knew that something was going on. Couple of days ago, Laura Ingraham was in Minneapolis doing the Laura Ingraham Show on Fox News Channel. She had Liz Collin and Michelle Tafoya on at the same time, and they did, obviously, an amazing job breaking down what's happening in Minneapolis and Minnesota as a whole. And at the end, Laura looks at her and says, any announcements you want to make? So, like, it's a poorly kept secret, but she wanted to announce it the right way, and I get all that. And by the way, Michelle goes, nothing today. So when she said nothing today and everything else, I'm like, oh, she's in. Well, then we saw this yesterday. Filed the paperwork with the FEC. And I am thrilled about this. Absolutely thrilled. Michelle is a friend of mine, which doesn't mean everything, but it means something. And I think that I can tell you honestly that I have many friends that do not agree with my politics and vice versa. We still be friends. We have some honest conversations once in a while, a few awkward moments here and there. But Michelle is a friend. Got to know her just kind of through the media business, having her on the show. And then we had her and Liz Collin come up back last spring and do kind of a ladies' night. And a number of you showed up. I think we had 200-300 people there that came to listen to those two speak. And got to know Michelle kind of when the microphones are off, behind the scenes, drove her to her hotel to drop her off after the event. And she's just a sweetheart. She's a sweetheart. She's kind. Like, you can tell some of those people that have been big celebrities before. Michelle, former sideline reporter for NBC Sports. She's done the Olympics, the Final Four, Super Bowls. She's been in every high-pressure situation you can come up with and handle herself, obviously, really well. And sometimes those people, even though they're good people, they get a little cocky, a little arrogant, a little, you know, I'm better than you. That is 100 miles the polar opposite direction what you get with Michelle Tafoya. Could not be kinder. Couldn't be nicer. She's got some spunk to her. No doubt about that. She is very confident. She's proud of who he is and what she's done. And she's tough. She does not back down from anybody or anything. And she happens to be a believer as well, which in my mind matters. There's certain things that I know about you when I know that your faith is authentic and genuine. And that is true for Michelle. And you learned that about her if you saw her speak up here in Fargo last spring. Okay, so let me tell you the couple of things that people are getting hung up on her about on the Republican side. She is pro-choice. There are few issues to me that matter more personally than this issue. I feel like God will ask me and you, if you are a believer, some tough questions when we get up to the pearly gate someday about, okay, what did you do about this? Did you take a stand? You know, because it's absolutely an atrocity. And so because of that, it makes me go, oh, a little bit with Michelle. It does. But I've heard her talk about this a couple different times now, and she looks you in the eye, and she says, I believe everything that you do, too. I just don't think it's the role of the government to tell a woman what she can and can't do in that part of her life. Okay, don't like it. Not ideal in my mind, but can I live with it? Yes, I can. Because she is trying to sort out, the scripture talks about work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I believe that she has done that. I do. I don't know if her stance has morphed or changed or softened over time. It'll be interesting to hear her on the debate trail about this. But if you want to say to me, Steve, I can't vote for her because of that. Okay, I understand. However, just know that if she is the nominee in Minnesota and it's her against a Democrat, do not lose sight of the big picture here. Also, the other thing that she is, the people hold against her a little bit is that she is on the record a while back saying, President Trump, please don't run for a second term. She was hardly the only one back when, you know, it was, okay, who's going to run against Joe Biden or, you know, before it was Kamala Harris. And there were a lot of, I was one of them that said, I don't think that he can win again. I just think there's so much working against him, although I'm a huge fan of what he did in the first term and always was. But I think I said something similar, like, oh, we have so many good candidates. I don't think it's the right thing. Well, I was wrong. I was wrong then. And looking back now, I say, oh, my gosh, am I thankful that he did run and that he got the nomination and he did win. It sure helped that the Democrats ran some horrible candidates, but I don't care how he got on there, he got in there. So if you want to hold those couple of things against her, so be it. But there are another 100 things where she's a home run. And she instantly becomes the best chance that Republicans have to win a U.S. Senate seat in Minnesota. There may be two openings if Amy Klobuchar decides to run for governor. So that would open up maybe two races for Senate. And maybe Minnesotans say, you know, let's go 1-1. I think there are a lot of people in the middle that might do that. I think Michelle Tafoya can appeal enough to the middle to win independents and moderates, which, sorry, North Dakotans and Western Minnesotans, I know in our local state elections around here, not a big deal, but you have to think about these things in Minnesota. You absolutely do. Now, you might say to me, hey, Steve, Royce White, far better candidate. I get it. And I am a fan of Royce as well. He's a home run on the issues, probably the truest MAGA candidate. I don't think we can go wrong either way, but in terms of name recognition, ability to raise money, and ability to win the middle, Michelle Tafoya is the strongest candidate. I am really excited that she's running, and I think she'll be able to get a lot of people behind her in the middle, which you're going to need. But make no mistake, when you listen to her on the issues, she is solid on the issues of, you know, all the things that conservatives talk about, or darn near all of them. And I'm not going to let perfect be the enemy of good. Those are my thoughts on it. Wondering what you think as well. When we come back here on the Steve Hallstrom Show, a lot still to come. You could soon be able to borrow from your 401k plan to buy a house. It was one of the most fun interviews that I've done in a long time. Michael Letts, he's a veteran, has a lot of experience in foreign policy and how government and military operations have worked over the years and how different countries have strategic places, both figuratively and literally, across the globe when it comes to American defense. And Michael, we had a great chat yesterday, about 15 minutes with him, and what a true patriot that guy is, and what a fun interview he was, so well-spoken, and we're going to have him on, hopefully, on a regular basis going forward. It was just a great conversation. You can tell he knows so much about so many different things. And I got reaction from a number of you after the show, too, talking about how much you enjoyed that interview. And you can actually hear a replay of that on Jay Thomas' show coming up later today here on The Flag. I have just one thing left to say kind of to close that whole loop. And typically when the day is done, I say, okay, what was said, and what was done was done. I kind of leave it at that. But I do want to say that it kind of hit me later on yesterday after the show, something that Michael and I talked about. And I told you before we had Michael on earlier in that show yesterday that I am fine with the president talking tough, negotiating tough, about how Greenland needs to be protected by the free world. And I love all that. It's one of the reasons that the president has been such a strong leader, as he says what he says, means what he means, and he does not care if you don't like it, whether his own administration, his own party, his own supporters. He's going to tell you what he thinks, and he's not ever going to back down. But I did say the one area where I have a problem is this sort of implied threat of military force. He had made some comments like, hey, we're going to do what we got to do. We'll be very strong. And it was kind of purposely, I think, to sort of leave the option out there for military involvement. And I told you that after that, Caroline Leavitt has basically come out and said, all options are on the table, and she's obviously going to follow suit on what the president said. Now, I told you yesterday that I don't think the President Trump ever really intended or wasn't intending to really have that as an option. I mean, allies just don't militarily attack other allies. It doesn't happen. But I thought later on in the day, as I was sort of kind of digesting all this, I'm like, well, wait a minute now. Denmark, Sweden, Norway, all those countries over there in Scandinavia, they're all allies of ours. They're all part of NATO. If we think that China and Russia are up to no good, we're going to get involved that way. And Michael had said himself, there's like, what, four U.S. bases or something there, four stations where people are, Americans are over there. So it's like we've already sort of done that. We have a foot over there already. If it seems like, China and Russia are starting to bang the pots and pans a little bit, we're definitely getting involved then. So I thought one of Michael's reasons that it was justified is, we might need it for American defense, and we have to always do what's in the best interest of America, which I 100% agree with. But I felt like maybe he was kind of missing that point a little bit in his analysis of the whole thing, that we are protected there anyway. If NATO nations, and you can talk about NATO and the UN all you want, and I'm not saying that those organizations are well run or even needed, for us to spend, zillions of dollars over there. But they do give us some kind of alliance of who's with us and who's against us when it hits the fan. So I was really glad this morning to hear the president come out and say, I won't use force, very clearly in Davos. And I think that puts the whole thing to bed. So just a couple finishing thoughts on that. That was the only part of this whole conversation that made me super uneasy, but it looks like that is now water under the bridge. Have you noticed how many Vision Fords and Vision Lincolns that you're seeing driving around here, Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo? And I'm telling you what, those Lincolns especially, I saw one, I said, wow, if I could ever drive a set of wheels like that. And here I am, thanks to the good folks at Vision Ford Lincoln. They made it happen. And you get the paperwork signed in about 15 minutes. You don't have to sit through the meeting with the finance manager or the guy who wants to sell you every option possible, and you're in the car dealership all day long. If you're like me, your life is too busy. You want to call and you want to say, I want that car. Tell me what I need to do. Let me DocuSign this stuff. 15 minutes. I got my bank. They'll wire you the money, or however you're going to do that. I'll write the check later. Can you just get the car here? And that's exactly what they do. I think so many times when buying cars, it's like we're going to do it the way we did it 10 years, 20 years, 50 years ago. You come in, spend all day here because hey, you need us more than we need you. But that's not how they work in Vision Ford Lincoln. They are always giving you that impression that they need you more than you need them. And that those are the kind of businesses that we like to have here. We try to be that way with our customers here at the Flag and Fieldstone Group. And when it comes to doing business with other people, I love it when they try to make it as easy as possible. That's what they do. Drive with vision.com, drive with vision.com. Dot com. Go online. You can check out all their stuff there. And great jobs, sales, service, make a lot of money down there. And hey, if you see all those cars driving around here in the metro, all those Lincolns driving around up here, you know that they're making money in the sales team, and you know there's going to be service to be done. So job security. They got that in spades down there, too, at Vision Ford Lincoln. Okay. The Trump administration is preparing to unveil a new idea to hope to allow people more options in buying a house. President says he wants to allow Americans to use 401k funds for a home down payment without the standard 401k penalties. Kevin Hassett is the National Economic Council director, and he went through some of these details here a couple of days ago, and he said the president in Davos is going to talk a little bit about that. The president was speaking earlier this morning before our show began. I don't know if he talked about it or not, but this is something apparently he's going to touch on over there in some way or shape. So how would this work? Well, I did a little digging for you because I figured you would want to know because I wanted to know. We're curious like that. So the full mechanics still being finalized, but the administration has outlined what I guess you could call an equity swap concept here. And this, in particular, could help the issue for young buyers to be able to get that down payment there. So the president is saying, how about we let people take out their 401k and then put it toward a house? So the big change on this is that you could take money out of your 401k tax-free and penalty-free. Well, I shouldn't say tax-free, but penalty-free. Usually, if you do this before you get to 59 and a half, there's a 10% early withdrawal penalty plus income taxes. So if you want to take the money out, there are 401k loans. That's a different deal. And maybe your employer offers that. That's a different thing altogether. This is, I got $50,000 in my 401k. I want to take out $40,000 of it and put it toward a down payment of a house. I'll still have 10 grand left. I get that I don't have as much money working for me in my investing. But hey, I can at least invest in a piece of property, and you don't have to pay the 10% early withdrawal penalty. So once you use that 401k money, the equity in your home then would be treated like an asset within the 401k. So let's say, just for simple numbers here, you have a house you want to buy for $100,000 and you want to take out 10%, so $10,000, okay? So the 10% or the $10,000 would be treated as an asset within the 401k, okay? It's a little fuzzy to me how that would work, but still it is part that money is still basically still in there within the 401k. It's treated as an asset within that. And as the value of the home goes up, hopefully as time goes on, the value of that asset, in air quotes, inside the 401k would theoretically grow along with it. So this means you, as a 401k holder or the saver, don't lose out on the long-term wealth building that you get with the 401k. The goal is to bridge the gap for families who have seen the down payment numbers go up like crazy. I saw one number that it was 10 years ago, the average down payment was $15,000 on a home, and now it's $32,000, so it's more than doubled there. How is this different from current rules? So your options for using a 401k to buy a house, there are some rules on this one. You can generally borrow, or you would be generally able to borrow up to $50,000 or 50% of your balance, but it has to be repaid with interest within 5 years, and that adds, obviously, to your monthly payments there. IRAs currently have a first-time homebuyer exception that would allow a $10,000 penalty-free withdrawal, but 401k plans don't have that same thing going on right now. All right, so boil it all down, and what are the risks? What are the concerns here? So what could go wrong? All right. Well, what happens if you have a nation full of people that all of a sudden have access to 20, 30, 40, 50 grand in new cash for a down payment? There is some concern that sellers are simply going to raise prices that would cancel the benefit. I don't know about that one. I feel like, okay, if I have a house on the market, the only thing that's going to make me raise the price of my home, let's say it's sitting on the market or whatever, or if I try to sell today versus 6 months from now, what would cause that price to go up? Well, it's demand. So I suppose if you got a lot of people that do this and, you know, take the money, say, yeah, I'll pay it back or whatever. There's going to be more demand for houses. Therefore, I can raise it. I don't know. It feels to me like this is not, it sounds like a good idea on paper. And I think it is. It's an option. Again, you know, buyer beware. You do your homework. You realize the pros and the cons, but you make an adult decision. We don't want to live in a nanny state where the government tells you what you can and can't do. We like options. And if you make a mistake, guess what? You screwed up and you don't do it again next time. But I just don't see this being something that people are going to run for their 401ks in big numbers. So I don't know about that, but it could happen. Could get some home price inflation. Second thing people worry about is the all eggs in one basket. Moving retirement funds into a home increases the risk if the local housing market crashes, right? I guess that makes sense. But hey, again, you roll your dice and you take your chances. But boy, the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years in our part of the world, that certainly hasn't happened. You have some downward trends, but on the whole, you're going to do fine. And then on just the mechanics on 401ks, they are basically private contracts between employers and you. And the president may have to have Congress pass some legislation to force employers or allow employers to adopt these changes. So your company doesn't have to let you do that because it's their plan. So there's some of that going on there as well. All right, what do you think about that? Let me know. 701-271-1100. Steve Hallstrom Show back after this. Coming up in the second hour of the Steve Hallstrom Show, best thing I heard all day, Homeland Security Chief Kristi Noem says we are going to hold these protesters accountable, the agitators who defiled the church service on Sunday in St. Paul. Love it. Pour that right into my veins, and we're going to hear from her about that. We'll take another qualifier for the Valentine's Day trip of a lifetime. So we got that coming up as well. And then we're going to hear from one of these guys over at the World Economic Forum. It says, you know, maybe us global elites were wrong about a lot of stuff. Oh, really? Isn't that convenient for you now that your idiocy is being exposed? So we'll do a lot of that here on the second hour of the show. From the text line, Steve, I think the 401k loan is a great idea. It should be allowed for older borrowers, too. Too many rules for us hard workers and loss of control over our money. Next step is removal of property taxes. Well, I'm liking all of that. The first thing I would say is I think it is for everybody, but I think it's kind of the impetus for this is young people who want to buy a home. But a lot of times they don't have a lot in their 401ks at that point, right? They're just kind of getting started. But yeah, I mean, senior citizens or, you know, those in their 40s, 50s, I think it's going to be available for everybody if they can get it through. So again, the biggest thing is the employer has to agree to make that change to their plan. So the employee can't make that happen. Donald Trump can't really make that happen either. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. All right. I want to play for you a little bit of the conversation that our Chris Larson had with Michelle Tafoya earlier today. The announcement is going to be the official press conference, I think, is coming up at 11 is the last I heard. But we were able to get one of the first interviews anywhere with Michelle as she announced the former NFL sideline reporter and NBC News, a big celebrity star lady. You see her on the Gutfeld Show on Fox News Channel and Outnumbered every once in a while as well. She's become a big voice on the conservative side. And so Chris asked Michelle, So what do people of Minnesota need to know? Who is Michelle Tafoya?
Thank you for that. I've been a Minnesota resident for over half my life. Do I have to tell you how many years that is? I will. Okay. I've been here for about 30 years, raised my family here. And yes, I also spent about three decades covering NFL games, the Olympics, the NBA. So a lot of different sports, and was very fortunate to work on Monday Night Football with John Madden and Sunday Night Football with Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. So a great career. And along the way, I saw this country that I love so much starting to struggle. I left my job in 2022 after the Super Bowl of that year that we covered and decided, you know what? I want to pay attention. I want to see what's going on around the country and particularly in Minnesota. And now with the state really kind of declining and in a crisis of leadership, which I'm sure everyone in your audience knows about, I've decided to throw my hat in the ring for the United States Senate.
And it's got to be an honor to, after the time you've spent in Minnesota, have this opportunity. What does it mean to you to be announcing this run today?
Well, what it means to me, honestly, is the beginning of change. As I said, our leadership here in Minnesota has absolutely failed us on so many levels. And I remember a state that was safe and peaceful and boasted great schools. And lately, we're going backwards. And so what I want is a return to common sense. I want a return to normalcy. I want violent crime to come down. I want our schools' test scores to come up. Kids aren't reading and doing math at grade proficiency. And I want to end the fraud that has ripped off not only Minnesotans, but Americans everywhere.
Yes.
Of billions and billions of dollars. And I want to settle this place down. I mean, the left has tried to turn this place into a war zone. But honestly, this is not left versus right. This is right versus wrong.
Amen.
We've got to choose between the common sense that, you know, built America or this corruption and crazy. And we need an outsider.
Yeah, need an outsider, 100% right. And so what are her chances? Well, it's going to be tough. Any Republican in Minnesota is going to be an underdog, no question about it. She will have a good fight in the primary as well. Royce White, former NBA player, he was the Republican Senate nominee back in 24. So he's kind of been through this before. And as I mentioned earlier, He definitely lines up on the issues. He is a no-nonsense, tough talker. He's going to have more of a Trump-like persona than Michelle, who will come across a little bit more thoughtful, a little bit more, okay, let's think about this. But maybe that's what Minnesota needs. Maybe that's what Minnesota will want. So we'll see David Hahn, the former Senate Minority Leader, former GOP State Chair, Adam Schwartzy, former Navy SEAL, are also in that Republican primary. General election, if she gets out of the primary, that'll be even tougher. Peggy Flanagan, the lieutenant governor, although I think people kind of in the middle, again, I hate talking about the middle so much, but that's where Minnesota elections are won and lost. I think people in the middle have kind of said, Peggy Flanagan, okay, that was Tim Walz's right hand. She seems really extreme. Angie Craig, I think, will be the harder of the two to beat. She's a seasoned campaigner. Has a lot of statewide appeal, I guess you'd say, or statewide connections. And she comes across as moderate in the political speeches and stuff. When you look at her voting record, she's not. But she comes across that way. So, but hey, it's the best chance Republicans have had in a long time. So we'll see how it goes. Steve Alstrom Show continues right after this. We are monitoring the North Dakota State Capitol House Chamber, where Governor Kelly Armstrong will deliver his State of the State address coming up here in just a few minutes. And when he takes the podium there, we will go to that live and take as much of that as we can here in the program today. Kelly says I'm going to try to keep it to about a half an hour. So if that happens and he starts anytime soon, we should be able to carry most of the speech today. We're going to apparently hear a lot about rural health care, about school lunches as well. So, and the downturn in oil activity and the downturn in state revenues because of that. So that coming up here as soon as that gets going. Let's go back to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone lines before we get to the key three. Dana is on the line and wants to ask about special session. Hey, Dana, what's going on? Okay. Dana, I wanted to talk. We heard he's usually a man of his word. But if it was the right Dana, maybe it's a different Dana, and we don't know. Maybe it's a she Dana. We just don't know. 10:07. Let's go to the key three here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. Well, this one was a nice little kick in the shorts. KVRR TV reports today that a downtown Fargo coffee shop has a message for Immigration and Customs Enforcement. You know, the ICE people. The message is, they are not welcome at their coffee shop. Atomic Coffee at 222 North Broadway has a sign posted on the door that says, everyone is welcome here except ICE. And it's written in English and in Spanish. I don't know how many Hispanic friends that we have that go downtown for coffee, but They apparently felt the need to virtue signal in two languages. So there you go. So aquí todos son bienvenidos, excepto agentes de ICE, or something like that. It's been a long time since I took seventh grade Spanish. The sign goes on to say, and you remember when I went out to Big Sky at Christmas time, I came back and told you, can you believe in Big Sky, Montana, there's a sign on a restaurant door that says everyone welcome here except ICE? It looked a lot like this one. What bad business, honestly. I know you want to, I know you hate Donald Trump, Atomic Coffee. Well, you must if you're doing this. But really, you want to ban law enforcement? My guess is there will never be another cop or sheriff's deputy. Well, I shouldn't say never, but not many that are ever going to set foot inside Atomic Coffee. And I'm not. There's a lot of places. I'm not a coffee guy anyway, but a lot of places to get coffee. The sign says they have a right to deny ICE access to private areas without a judicial warrant. They also say they assert their constitutional rights, which apply to everyone in this country, regardless of immigration status in this establishment. In a social media post, they wrote that they wondered if this is, quote, what it felt like in Nazi Germany. So not only did they put the sign on the door, they put the social media sign up. Oh, and all of the liberal soy boys and the NPR Karens are so happy about this. They'll probably do all kinds of business today on this. So maybe it's a business play, I don't know, but in the long run, you have to think they're gonna look back on this and say, oh man, what did we do? Management has declined to comment to KBR television. Come on now. The least you could do is stand behind it and comment. Maybe they just didn't comment within, you know, an hour or so and they had to publish the story. I don't know. But I hope they do comment about this one. So, yeah, you have to wonder if this decision will backfire. There's a lot of good places. A lot of Moxie Java customers hopefully are being minted out of this whole thing. Anywhere else, right? CNBC with the best write-up today on President Trump's comments in Davos at the World Economic Forum. The news that is, and I'm watching three different cable news channels today, and everybody is landing on the same few words from President Trump today. He talked for a long time, then took questions, but the big news item coming out of it is that in an address to the world leaders and others at the World Economic Forum, he said for the first time that he would not use military force in pursuit of Greenland. He said, now everyone's saying, oh, good, people thought I would use force. I don't have to use force. I don't want to use force. I won't use force. Stocks took a crash yesterday it sort of kind of caught wind that he was not ruling out these tariffs, additional tariffs, and potentially military operations to overtake Greenland. Both he and Carolyn Leavitt had pretty much left that on the table. Well, Trump came out today and said, no, this is not what we're going to do. Stocks rebounded big this morning. And at last check, the market was, let's see, where are we at here? Yeah, we're up pretty good. Dow up 430, S&P 500 up 72, NASDAQ up 293. So we've already made up more than half of yesterday's losses. And all the traders apparently are citing, hey, Trump ruled out military action on Greenland. That's a good thing. That's order, harmony, no chaos, whatever, attacking an ally. So that's all good. So that's the big deal. Now, Trump has said, we still want it. We need it. It's in the best interest of the free world for us to have it. We're going to do everything we can, trade, tariffs, whatever. And some people aren't going to like that. But from where I'm sitting, this is a lot easier to swallow now that what has been said has been said. And then finally, one more here for you, as looks like they're just starting to file in there. So I'll get this one in here as quick as I can, is that Michelle Tafoya, four-time Emmy Award-winning broadcaster, longtime national voice in American sports, announced today that she is launching a campaign for the U.S. Senate in Minnesota. In her announcement, she said, Minnesotans deserve better than chaos and corruption. Minnesota and the country need leaders who will restore accountability, rebuild public trust, and get results. Communities feel less safe. Families are stretched thin. Huge government failures go unanswered. Washington needs people who will ask tough questions and demand competence, not excuses. She will start traveling the state of Minnesota in the coming weeks. And we're going to try to get her on the Steve Holstrom Show as soon as possible. What a wonderful development today. She is the best chance Republicans have had in a long time in the Senate races. She will, as I said earlier, I like Royce White too, but Michelle brings some different things to the table that just aren't easy to put together. She has name recognition. She's got star power. I guess that's kind of one and the same. She has the ability to raise money. She's already apparently been endorsed by the National Republican Senate Committee. So she is appealing to the establishment as she does it, which, again, we don't always like the establishment, but it does mean something with endorsement and access to funds. And I think she has an ability to win the middle. She is a pro-choice candidate, which I don't love. I'll be honest about that. I have problems with that. But if you're talking about Michelle Tafoya head-to-head with Peggy Flanagan, and you're going to stay home because Michelle Tafoya may have a different view on the abortion debate than you do, my friend, you are sadly mistaken, at least in my opinion. Sorry, I shouldn't be presumptive enough to tell you how to vote on any certain issues. I get it. The life thing is very, very core to many of us. But I would just say, please consider what you're saying no to when you say no to Michelle Tafoya, if that's your only thing. Or if you say, well, she hasn't always been the most ardent Trump supporter. Yeah, you know what? You're right. You're right about that, too. But she is now, and she is common sense, and she has the ability to win. I hope the Minnesotans will get behind her in a very big way. And those, friends, are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. All right. It's 10:15 here, 15 past the hour, and we are just waiting for Governor Armstrong to they're kind of convening the process. I'm watching on my video feed right now, and they're just doing kind of some initial things. So let's go ahead and get to our first break here. I guess we have to take it here in about 45 seconds. So we're going to get our first break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to do the best we can at trying to catch some of Governor Armstrong's early comments. And we thought he was going to start about 10:06, be done about 10:30, but we'll take as much of the governor's speech as we can here as we continue. I've got time before we hit break quick to sneak in our qualifier for today for a Valentine's Day trip of a lifetime. And we want you to give us a call within 11 minutes and 30 seconds. Victoria Codinaris of West Fargo, Tori, Vicky, Victoria, however you go by there, young lady. We would love to hear from you, and you can be qualified for Valentine's Day trip of a lifetime to Las Vegas for the big deal. Three-night hotel stay, airfare for two tickets to the Wizard of Oz on Valentine's Day, and $500 spending cash. You've got 11 minutes and 11 minutes. All right, Kelly Armstrong has taken the podium a couple minutes ago. Let's listen in from the state capitol.
When you make the cops laugh, they let us stay. They didn't even take the flag. And it just, I thought of how do I greet you all here this morning? And I thought that was a pretty good way to do it. I thought when you all left, you said you didn't want to have to come back here. So, Lieutenant Governor Strindon, justices of the North Dakota Supreme Court, Mr. Speaker, legislators, elected officials, tribal leaders, family and friends, and fellow citizens, thank you for joining us today and welcome. And a special thanks to Senator Hoeven, the congressional delegation, and President Trump for passing the legislation that gives us the opportunity to be here today.
John Hoeven in attendance.
It is my constitutional duty and great honor to address this special session of the 69th Legislative Assembly. It is also my duty to set the scope of this session. And to that end, working with legislative leadership, we have identified a singular purpose: to address the $199 million in federal funds awarded for the first year of our Rural Health Transformation Program. This program is a pivotal step forward in strengthening North Dakota healthcare across the state. The need is clear. 75% of North Dakota's rural counties face primary care shortages. Over the last 20 years, health care has concentrated in our largest communities, leaving our rural residents without adequate services. These challenges demand bold action. By expanding access, promoting long-term wellness, and driving innovation, we have the chance to be the healthiest state in the nation. I want to begin by thanking you all for your valuable input into North Dakota's application to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. I'll admit, I was a bit skeptical when Senator Hoag told me he was forming a 34-member interim committee, given the complexity and short time frame. So to my team, HHS, and most of all, you legislators, thank you for accomplishing this goal in such a short period of time. This is definitely one time I am happy to be proven wrong. Our application to CMS reflected thoughtful planning and collaboration. The priorities came directly from the people who know rural health care best, our residents, providers, tribal partners, and community leaders, along with the legislature, governor's office, and especially our team at HHS. We appreciate the Rural Health Transformation Committee for greenlighting four pieces of legislation that significantly helped improve our application score with CMS. Those four bills will require the presidential fitness test in PE courses, require nutrition education as part of physicians' continuing education requirements, join the physician assistant licensure compact, and expand the scope of practice for pharmacists. I look forward to signing these bills along with the accompanying appropriation bill. When we first learned about the funding that Congress and President Trump made available, we knew North Dakota was in line for at least $100 million per year. To see that number doubled in the final award is a testament to the countless hours of hard work that went into that application. From Bowman to Bathgate, from Wahpeton to Williston, and everywhere in between, North Dakotans deserve access to high-quality health care. This is a generational opportunity not only to improve how health care is delivered to our citizens, but also help revitalize communities as people continue to seek out safe places to live with strong health care, great schools, and abundant economic opportunity. Our plan is built on four pillars. First, we want to make North Dakota healthy again by promoting wellness and healthy lifestyles in communities across the state through initiatives focused on nutrition, exercise, and reducing the risk of substance abuse, just to name a few. For all the advancements we've made in healthcare, far too often we treat symptoms and not people. Obesity is a killer. Sedentary lifestyles lead to negative health outcomes. It's time to shift the focus to front-end solutions. Eating better, getting proper exercise, and building resilient and connected communities. Second, we want to strengthen our communities and stabilize our rural healthcare workforce. That means healthcare workers in rural North Dakota with training, support, and retention grants. Third, we want to bring high-quality healthcare closer to home by expanding local access to essential health services through telehealth, transportation, virtual medical rooms, and mobile clinics for hard-to-reach populations. And finally, we want to connect technology and data to create a healthcare system that is smarter, faster, and more responsive, one that meets our people where they are when they need the services. Now let me tell you what's not in the plan. We are not constructing new buildings. We are not standing up unsustainable programs and hiring new employees that will become North Dakota taxpayer obligations when this federal funding runs out. And we are not propping up underperforming programs that haven't made North Dakotans healthier. This is about transforming rural health, and that means embracing 21st century solutions, not repeating policies of the past. We aren't spraying federal dollars into North Dakota with a fire hose. All government money comes from taxpayers in one way or another, and we owe it to them to make the most of this investment. We must create lasting impact that we can sustain after this federal funding expires. North Dakota is projected to receive at least $500 million over 5 years. But as we saw in our first award, we could receive much more based on how we deploy those dollars. That's why this special session and the work that will come after it to implement these programs is so important. This process began last summer with a statewide survey. We had three listening sessions last fall. The interim committee wrote and endorsed four bills in October. We filed our application to CMS in early November and received our award right before the new year. Now it's barely the end of January, and we'll have 9 months to obligate $199 million. The year two award will start October 1st. While we don't know that exact amount yet, we are asking you to approve 2 years of appropriation authority to ensure that we can quickly disperse the second tranche of this funding. This program only works if North Dakota taxpayers have confidence in how we're spending money. It needs to be authorized and appropriated quickly. We need to be responsible stewards and track it closely. And it needs to have tremendous impact on the well-being of our citizens. In my first State of the State, I spared you all any baseball references. Not easy for an old American Legion baseball coach and future Ditch Chickens manager. No such luck today. Let's keep our eye on the ball, tune out the chatter from the bleachers, lay off the pitches that can wait till later, focus on hitting a home run by making the best possible use of this huge investment. If we execute our game plan, we can continue to receive an outsized share of these federal dollars, nearly $1 billion over the next 5 years. By doing so, we can make North Dakota the healthiest state in the nation and the best place to live, work, and raise a family. Thank you all for allowing me to address you here today. God bless you, and may God continue to bless the state of North Dakota and the USA. Thank you.
Okay, short and sweet, getting right to it. There's kind of one big issue. It's making sure that this amount of funds on the healthcare grant, I guess you call it healthcare funds from the feds, is spent the right way. And he said a number of interesting things there about that. 75% of rural North Dakota faces a shortage of health care. Did not know that the number was that high. So there we go. Good on that. All right, when we come back on the Steve Alstrom Show, the best thing I heard all day, Homeland Security, Christy Noem. Alsager Meats is the presenting sponsor of our Valentine's Day in Vegas promotion, the big contest going on here. With the Wizard of Oz, this is huge, friends. It's so fun to give away these trips. And the look on people's face when they win, oh, man, it's so fun. WDAY Radio and the Flag are giving away Valentine's Day in Vegas with the Wizard of Oz, sponsored by Alsager Meats. Valentine's Day just got better thanks to Alsager Meats. AlsagerMeats.com, from pasture to plate. And it's not just the best steaks, roasts, chops, chicken breasts you've ever had, but they keep bringing out more really cool food products to sell there at Alsager Meats. They've got their own line now of pizzas. Alsager Carnivore, that's the all-meat pizza. I've had that, darn good. Alsager Creamy Chicken Alfredo, Alsager Pepperoni Classic, Alsager Signature Supreme. They also are now carrying Alsager Chuck Wagon Beans, just like you had on the farm growing up. Ground beef, bacon bits, and beans in that sweet sauce. People love them. And Carl's Lefse made in Holly, the only ones in the FM area to carry that. The Veterans location will be celebrating their two-year anniversary this week. So keep up to date by checking out their Facebook and Instagram. That's the location, by the way, over on Veterans, I found out, for the big party tomorrow they're having over there, qualifying party. Stop over there. Check out Alsager's. You'll love all the stuff you find over there. You're probably going there at some point anyway, so go there and register for the big drawing. And you could be one of the people that we announce every day as having a chance to get qualified for the final giveaway party. If you are not able to get over at Alsager's, that's okay. You can go to am1100theflag.com, and you can register there. So either way, it works. So check that out. Four locations, Alsager Meats. Veterans Boulevard, Timber Creek Parkway off 52nd Avenue South, kind of by the Dairy Queen, if you know where that is down there. They also have a location in Breckenridge and one in Audubon, Minnesota. And what a trip this is going to be. Should be a ton of fun. And always a ton of fun going over to Alsager Meats. All right, phone lines are still open, 701-271-1100. Dana is going to give this another shot here. Dana, we tried this earlier and we couldn't hear you for some reason. Let's give it a go again. He's back on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hey, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I could hear you, but apparently you couldn't hear me. But anyway, now the session is in. They've only got a couple days to go here. So
yeah.
On this school lunch deal, are they going to decide for us, or is it going to go to a vote? And if they don't use all the funds, are those funds going to go back to, like, teacher pay, or are they going to just keep it for whatever they want? And then I was going to ask on this state investment board, they gave themselves $1.3 million in bonuses. You know, Kelly's chairman of the board there. I tried to find a breakdown of who got what for bonuses, but seven of them are over $100,000, and one is $293,000. And if the revenues are down from the oil field, I don't feel it's right for these people that are getting paid to do this job anyway to take such huge bonuses. It's almost half again as much pay for the governor.
Yeah.
Is anybody going to stand up on that?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of good stuff there, Dana. A lot to unpack there from what you had. But Wendy, I'll kind of start in reverse order on this thing with the estate investment board. My understanding on this, I don't know a lot of details. You've looked into it more than I have. But I did hear that there was a number of people that were getting sizable bonuses. And my understanding is that this is a bonus from past performance. And as I have tried to keep up to date on Legacy Fund, OMB, Bank of North Dakota, the people that are taking what money is in there, in those resources, and growing it, I think they've been very successful in doing that. I imagine, I mean, their returns are north of what you and I probably are getting. Well, I shouldn't say that, but it's more than, you know, it's 3-4% and be happy with a little something and play it close to the vest. I think they've returned like 9-10% on that. So, look, I get a job well done. Having a bonus is not a bad thing. I think you bring up some good questions about, you know, at a time when the state's going through what it's going through, but I think these are bonuses that are being awarded based on things that have happened before. We kind of got into the situation with what's happening in the energy sector. But your point still makes sense. I get where you're going on that.
It's what they made in the last year on these other funds, retirement funds and whatnot.
Right.
But if they're doing so good, let us common people in on it. Let us make that 10%.
Well, I hear you there. There's a lot of ways we can do that. And, I mean, so Kelly Armstrong, if he's on the phone right now, well, this is going to say, well, we did. We're giving everybody $1,600 off their property taxes. Look, I'm not saying you're wrong to say any of these things. I'm just telling you what the answer is going to be coming the other way. But it's a good discussion.
Let us put our money in and get that big return, too. Let everybody in on the game.
Yeah, well, yeah, so the ways they do, you got a ton of great ideas. I think a lot of stuff you're saying sounds easier to pull off than it actually would be, but I don't mind where you're going with these ideas. I have been one of the people who's been pounding the table for a while to open up some things with state investments and Bank of North Dakota, Legacy Fund, and that kind of thing. So I'm with you on that there. Dana, thanks for calling, man. Good comments and good questions as always. Thanks for giving a shout. That opens up a phone line for you, 701-271-1100. Dana also had questions on the money coming in on federal health and how they're going to do that. They've only got a couple days left. He's right about that. There's just a short amount of time there to get that done. It doesn't sound like it's going to be a huge kind of deal there. And yes, on the school lunch thing, are they going to do it in the legislature rather than have it go to a petition? I think that's what they're hoping to do, to try to sort of put maybe more guideposts around it of some kind. Either way, you're talking about $65-70 million a year. I've said, I mean, y'all are sick of me at beating the dead horse on this. I'm going to lose this one way or another. But it still doesn't mean that I'm not going to tell you what I think is right and wrong on this one. This is a bad plan. There's ways we can do this. Raise the level of what we're talking about. But this is a wasteful government exercise, no question about that. Okay, best thing I heard all day. This is a little clip I heard from the Greta Van Susteren show on Newsmax yesterday. It was flipping around the dial a little bit. No, I saw this one on X. And Christy Noem was on with Greta Van Susteren. And you know that in the Twin Cities, Don Lemon, I don't know if he whipped people up, but he certainly didn't try to settle them down. And so Don, I'm not even going to get into that guy. Just one of the wacko left, for sure. He goes into a church, along with a group of other people, completely disrupt the service, shouting at the pastor. And they have to basically, you know, there's scared kids in there. There's families like, you know, peaceful church-going people. You get in their face, start screaming, F you fascist, whatever, in the middle of the church service. And church-going people don't really know what to do with that. So they shut down the church service. Don Lemon, however you say his name, gets in the pastor's face. We understand that someone on staff here is employed by Border Patrol or ICE or something like that. Which, if you go to most God-fearing churches, you're going to have people that work in law enforcement, the government, or some way or shape. So not a surprise or shock. And the people in the church were fine with it. But, of course, Don has to go in and talk about how, you know, First Amendment allows us to come here. No, it doesn't. My gosh. So you have these people screaming like they all do, right? They come out with their phones. They're going to scream at people and tell them how evil they are for being in a church where they would have the audacity to employ someone who works for Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Well, Christy Noem went on Greta's show yesterday and basically said, we're not going to allow this garbage to happen.
And that pastor really did a remarkable thing there, trying to protect his parishioners.
And even the parishioners, I imagine, are felt and feel intimidated and...
They did, and there's going to be arrests in the next several hours, Greta. There will be arrests tied to that, and people will be brought to justice for how they violated the law in that situation.
Well, Don Lemon is a journalist, and so I thought he was going, and so when I first saw it, I assumed he was going in as a journalist covering it. I mean, I go into bad places and ask questions all the time, but when his comment about the white supremacy all of a sudden made me think, well, maybe he wasn't there as a journalist.
Yeah, well, Greta, not only that comment, but the fact that ahead of time, before this even happened, he said that he'd conducted some surveillance before they went into this church. He identified individuals that were going in with him that were activists and the work that they'd done in the past. The fact that this entire situation was then posted on the Black Lives Matter website, all of that is something that they're going to be responsible for.
Yes. Well, good. And they should. As of right now, I did a quick scan before the show started, so I guess I should say as of 9 o'clock. There have been no confirmed reports in the press of any arrests that were from people that were at that. It's called the City's Church in St. Paul this past Sunday. The DOJ and the FBI say they've launched investigations, which, okay, I guess we'll wait. But if we're sitting here 3 days from now, well, we've launched an investigation. Christy Noem said hours, within hours, and that was yesterday on Greta's show. So let's hope hours means maybe 20 hours, and we get something here this afternoon. Harmeet Dhillon, the assistant attorney general, and Pam Bondi, the head attorney general, have stated the department is pursuing charges under the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, or the FACE Act. It was set up basically for abortion clinics, but it also prohibits people doing something like this at a worship service or religious place as well. And I did see Bloomberg is reporting two federal prosecutors from the Civil Rights Division have been dispatched to Minneapolis and St. Paul to coordinate with local officials and review the footage to identify specific individuals. The barge in was organized by two groups, the Racial Justice Network and Black Lives Matter Minnesota, because one of their pastors, David Eastwood, is the acting field director for local ICE. So, Michelle Tafoya has come out and spoken on this here in the last couple of days. So this is good. Ripping Walls and Fry saying, boy, you're all for, you know, law and order, right? And not having disturbances. But boy, are you quiet on this one. So good for you, Christy Noem. Good for you, Pam Bondi. Let's get some people arrested. Let's march some people out in handcuffs so we can see what's happening here. And know that the right thing has been done. So Let's do that. All right, when we come back on the program, Larry Fink is the CEO of BlackRock. He's one of those global elites at the Davos Forum. And funny, he's apparently found religion all of a sudden on all these crazy ideas that they've been talking about. That's next. From the text line, Steve, I just have one thing to say. Dana for North Dakota legislature. I love it. Dana would bring some common sense to that group. And they're pretty good for the most part, but we still get a little goofy once in a while with some of these ideas. So I love it. Dana for North Dakota legislature. Dana, if you're still listening, you got two votes, me and whoever texted that in. So there you go. All right. A couple things to finish up I want to share with you. I might have saved the best for last year, if I'm honest about it. So, you know that around the Twin Cities area, the whatever you want to call them, the wide left, the far left, the wacko left, whatever, they are doing everything they can to try to rally as many people to go stir up trouble as possible, whether it's a church service or a traffic stop or whatever. Well, if you ever needed some evidence or some backup that the Democrat socialists have no morals, scruples, or integrity, and will attempt to defraud you and me out of our money for absolutely nothing. Well, you got it last night, because a social media post went out from the Twin Cities DSA, Twin Cities Democrat Socialists. Yes, they've got a Twitter account. Oh, goody, right? They give you in this Twitter post four different screenshots of something it looks like maybe from their website, where they're giving you instructions on how to organize your workplace and participate in the Friday strike. People are supposed to just not go to work. They're striking. I guess you're supposed to put your employer through the ringer because you don't like what's happening with ICE in Minnesota. And they're giving you just different instructions on how to do this. And they say, we have resources to help you. I wonder where that funding is coming from there. And they say in their social media posts, Minnesota has a very employee-friendly earned sick and safe time law. If you're out for only one day, you don't have to provide documentation of the reason for your absence to your employer. Take a mental health day with ESST if you don't want to explain why you're not working. If your employer is friendly, talk to them about closing for the day. Boy, I hope someone runs a video camera if somebody walks into my office and says, I think we should close today because we want to participate in the effort, the resistance. The post goes on to say, Trump and ICE are detrimental to business. Huh. Not sure I follow that. I happen to like 5% GDP growth and lower interest rates and wages going up. But these people are not interested in a rational debate. And they say, if community suffering isn't enough, share with your employer the impact from an economic perspective. And they have a fact sheet on ICE's detrimental economic impact. I can only imagine how well-researched and well-thought-out that whole thing is. And then if you need more encouragement, we're hosting a workshop at 8 o'clock on January 20th. So come to the party on Thursday, where we're going to talk about how we're going to lie to our employers, steal from the public, and steal from our companies, and we're going to show up in protest, and we're going to go strike and picket and march or whatever. So basically, just realize what's happening here. Realize that they're basically saying, here's how you defraud your employer out of money, and here's how you hurt your boss. Who has nothing to do with this whole thing. So this is what they do. This is how they handle it. And yowza, you have that whole thing. Larry Fink is the CEO of BlackRock, one of these global economic elites that have pushed for the whole climate change, open borders theory, DEI, you name it. And normally you hear these people talking about how devoted they are to the causes, and we have to make sure that you'll remember that we have to keep all these crazy ideas front and center. Well, funny, since Donald Trump took office, magically these people have said to themselves, you know, maybe we were wrong about a lot of stuff.
We believe that outside the United Nations, this is the largest gathering of global leadership of the post-COVID period of time. For many people, this meeting feels out of step with the moment.
Really?
We hear all about the elites. And how does that play out in an age of populism? How does an established institution make a difference in an era of deep institutional mistrust? And there's some truth to the critique.
Oh, there is.
I believe in this forum for a long time. I certainly wouldn't be leading this if I didn't believe that we can change and make the world better. But it's also obvious that the world now places far less trust in us to help shape what comes next.
I wonder why that is.
If the World Economic Forum is going to be useful going forward, it has to regain that trust.
Hmm. Isn't that interesting? Well, you might say give them credit for admitting they were wrong. That's a noble thing usually, but they're only admitting they're wrong because they're losing. This is not a virtuous mirror stare. This is, gosh, we can't get away with this anymore. Thing number 537 that seems to have magically changed since President Trump won re-election. Remember Bill Gates with the climate change stuff a while ago? Have a great day, my friend. Keep on flying that flag.